各位菩萨早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everybody. 阿弥陀佛。
距离上一次来这边是八月二号，上次我讲了什么？跟到现在距这么久，我也忘了。可能大家也忘记两个多月前我讲了什么，不过没关系，不管大家是上一次有来还是这次来，我再简单的先把整部静心平台讲什么先简单介绍，不过这次会介绍部分会放在前面11个偈子，还是关于在家菩萨生活，也就是我们日常生活会遇到哪一些事情的部分跟大家做介绍。
Our last talk was on August 2nd, and do you know how long it has been since our last talk? I think it's so it's a little bit over 2 months, and some of you may have been here, and or you may have already forgotten what we have talked about. But regardless, it's all right. Doesn't matter. Today I will recapitulate what I talked about briefly last time, and give you an overview of what this chapter, the chapter of pure conduct, is about. And then further on, we're going to move forward to focus on the first 11 verses of the chapter, which talks about how we should conduct ourselves in our daily life, especially for the lay people.
刚刚我们邀请大家往前坐哈，我就想到，我以前在学校上课的时候，我会找两个地方坐，一个就是坐在最前面，一个就是会坐在最后面。为什么会有这两个差别呢？坐在最前面呢的原因是，那堂课的老师他上得很好，我想要往前坐，那这样子呢我可以跟老师聊天，因为我想问我知道的东西，我不是一个喜欢从按照课本这样一个一个，因为我会自己先预习，所以我会想要问我想知道的东西跟老师聊天。另外是那个老师我没办法跟他聊天，因为有些老师他就是按照课本一直念，所以他不太理我，所以我也不太理老师，我就会坐在最后面。当我不想上课的时候呢，我就会走出教室的门。
In the beginning of today's talk, we have asked you to please help us and move forward to the front part of the room. This reminds me of what I used to do when I was back in school. There tend to be two positions where I like to sit. The first one is right in the very front, in the middle, and the second position will be all the way in the back. And the ones for those classes that I chose to sit in the front is because the teacher is a great teacher and talks about the materials in a very interesting way. And I like to sit in the front so I can have a dialogue with the teacher, raising questions about things I already know, the things I have gleaned already from the book. For those classes that I prefer to sit in the back, tend to be with the teachers that I can't really have a conversation with. Some teachers tend to go read straight from the books. And in those cases, sometimes it gets too boring that I will snuck out from the back of the classroom.
In these 几个月我在准备上课的内容齁。我是准备静心品，要跟大家分享静心品。我就开始听师父讲的静心品。师父是花了2年的时间，这2年是用僧团的 结下安居，就是我们僧团针对法师们就聚集在一起，用一个礼拜的时间或者是十天左右的时间，让大众能够有一段时间静静的修行。师父那时候就跟大家分享，用了两年的两次的夏天跟大家分享。好，这次呢前后总共大概是30多个小时的开示的档案，那因为我每天没有很长时间可以听，所以就花了大概2个月的时间反复的听了几遍。那在听的过程当中，有一些佛法的观念和方法，那这个所谓的方法跟观念它是配合着的。对我自己本身来说，我就发现从一开始第一遍听到后来它的转变过程呢，因这总共是140个偈子，每个偈子呢它跟我们是息息相关，日常生活当中会遇到的。我就发现这140个偈子呢是跟现在说或许有一些不是很适用，所以不是适用是因为生活环境不一样，这有些是过去古代的生活模式，但是它可以转变，可以转变，因为我们日常生活当中会遇到的作息其实是类似的，只是使用的东西不一样，也就是科技的进步，所以有些东西我们在转化过程当中，我们是不是能够将它活用？然后我在这当中呢，慢慢的，我就发现这140个偈子呢，在我日常生活当中，它会很自然的就浮现出来。跟我过去呢，在受完大戒之后，我开始背出家戒，还有背菩萨戒。我那时候背的方式呢，我不是一条一条去死背，我就每天固定把菩萨戒和比丘戒诵一遍，就这样子，就是很单纯的诵一遍。至于他讲什么，或许我不是很清楚，一个是生活模式的不一样，一个是比丘戒250条，菩萨戒轻戒重戒加起来总共10重48也是有58条，所以全部加起来是300多条，要能够背下来真的要花很多的时间。可是我透过每天反复的这样子去诵一遍，大概半年的时间左右，慢慢的日常生活当中，当境界现前的时候，所谓境界现前是我们五根对外面的五境。好，我们先翻译，因为我上次发现我就是我讲课的时候，我如果中间断掉，我要再重新回来的时候，我会忘记，但是没关系，哦。好，所以等一下，如果我可能会问大家，我讲到哪边呢？好。
So since August 2nd, I as a way to prepare myself for these talks, I have been listening to Shifu's teaching, the ones that he gave to the monastics during the summer retreat. And he expounded on this chapter over 2 retreats, 2 years' time. And during these retreats, they were designed for the monastics to have a chance to practice intensively. Usually it lasts about 1 week to 10 days. So combining these 2 years of retreats, there were more than 30 hours of talks. And I was able to listen to it over and over again, slowly. I didn't have a lot of time, so I did it slowly over the past 2 months and listened to it for several times and realized as I'm listening to it, the concept that's been talked about in the chapter as well as the method that Shifu taught us, they actually go hand in hand and can be used together. So from the very first time I listened to it and gradually with repetition, I noticed some transformation in myself. There are actually 140 verses in this chapter, and each one of them are closely related to our daily life. Perhaps we may think that not all of them are suitable for a contemporary lifestyle. That may be so because the time is different, different settings. The verses were spoken back in the olden days, and now in today's world, we need to transform some of the... What is different are the technology. Technology is different, but the underlying methods and principles are still the same. And the teaching can still be applied to our daily interactions. And the question is, how do we use it in a very flexible, lively manner? So, listening to it more with each repetition, the concepts actually sinked in. And I noticed them gradually surfacing in my daily life whenever I encounter situations. This also takes me back to when I first received my monastic precepts, as well as the Bodhisattva precept. After that, I tried to become more familiarized with these precepts, but the method I adapted was not to try to memorize them cold. In fact, I tried to recite these precepts just once every day. And sometimes, you know, what's been talked about is not always that clear, again, having to do with different time and place. But over the span of 6 months, gradually with daily repetition, the 250 monastic precepts as well as the 58 Bodhisattva precepts become more and more clear to me. It just took time to gradually sink in. So again, through these repetitions, I was able to apply these teachings that's talked about in these precepts and the verses into daily lives. And in fact, whenever I encountered different sorts of situations, they will surface again as a reminder. And Fashi is about to give an example when I interrupted him for translation.
Just 说当我们啊的五根对外面的五尘，普遍上呢，我们对于好的可能不太会有什么，就是顺着我们的境界的时候，我们或许不太会有太多的一些反应，所谓反应就是我们内心的烦恼的现前。当我们会有烦恼现前，是这个境界不是顺着我们的时候。这时候呢，佛法对我们来说，方法就用不上，就烦恼心现前。应该怎么用上呢？就是我们平常的熏习，也就是所谓的熏习呢，是听闻佛法之后的实践。这个实践呢，并不是说我们听到打坐的方法回去之后就很认真的练习打坐，这个还是有需要的，而是在说观念的实践，是在观念的实践。观念的实践呢，是要用我们的心去体验，去实证佛法，这是比较难的，因为外相上面的，我们或许可以装得很好。什么是外相上面的呢？可能我们大家在工作的时候， 或是跟人互动，这个人我不喜欢他，可是我们表面上还是会，表面上我们还是要装的好像跟他处得很好，可是一回头之后跟别人讲，这个人多差多差多差，对不对？我们经常会有这样子的问题。啊，这是一点。第二是，有时候我们会说这件事情我不在乎了，可是当别人跟别人在讲起这件事情的时候，或是我在台湾就遇过一位菩萨，他曾经台湾很流行那种打电话诈骗哦，前一阵子那个菩萨就被骗了不少钱啊。他每次提到这件事情啊，他说他已经不在乎了，可是他每次一提到这个说，哦，我去年被别人骗了多少钱，哦，怎么样怎么样，就开始提他那段过程。但是他每次都说我已经不在乎了，真的我不在乎了。有一次我听完之后就跟他说，如果你真的不在乎，你就不会一直跟别人抱怨说哇怎么样啊怎么样的啊，哦，就会发现其实 这时候呢，就是所谓的烦恼现前，但是我们又不会察觉，我们会觉得我很清楚知道我在叙述这件事情啊。那有些人甚至会说，我也知道我很生气啊，但是我就是我看到他我就是没办法啊。这就是观念都知道，可是没有把方法落实在我们的生活当中，也就是表象上的方法，我们或许很纯熟，像打坐我们可以一坐两个小时三个小时，腿功可以练起来，可是坐在那边在做什么只有我们自己知道。如果真的坐在那边有体验，所谓的有体验呢，会跟大家讲什么叫做有体验，修行的善根和功德的关系什么，我们等一下跟大家介绍。嗯，先翻译好。
So, how to apply these concepts to different sorts of situations and encounters? In our daily lives, our five sensory organs comes in contact with the five sensory objects. And usually when it's a favorable situation, we are not going to experience any vexations. We don't really react to it with vexations. So we don't even notice it. And only when the situation is unfavorable, and that's when all these vexations, different negative thoughts will manifest themselves. And in these moments, we tend to feel that the methods we have learned are not that really usable or applicable, or sometimes we even forget to use them. And so how do we actually apply the method in a very, really able to use it in these kind of situations? It really requires daily repetition, repeated familiarization and studying of the concepts, as well as actually embodying it, actualizing it, practicing them in our daily lives. So merely having a daily meditation practice, that is important, but that's not enough, not sufficient. The kind of practice and repetition, studying that I'm talking about, has to do with the concepts, really absorbing the concepts and soaking it in and truly applying it in our daily lives, and try to match our practice with the concept, make them correspond. Because after all these external practice, external phenomena, things, you can pretend. You can, for instance, oftentimes people say, if you don't feel like you don't like someone, you can still pretend that you like them and you can interact with them normally. That's a kind of pretense. Or people may say, with that, you know, that event has passed, it's bygone, I don't care so much anymore. Is that really the case? That reminds me of a volunteer in Taiwan that I met. In Taiwan, there's this practice of telephone scam, and it was actually quite prevalent. And so this volunteer was actually a victim of the telephone scam and lost a lot of money. And
是一个女众还是男众？那个电话诈骗的。女众。
And she will often say, oh, last year I was scammed X amount of dollars, but I don't care anymore, it's all past. But she will repeat the story over and over again to the point where one day I actually ask her, if you really don't care anymore, you would not be repeating the story so much anymore. The fact that you're still repeating it means that you're still hanging on to it. So with the manifestation of vexations, we may feel that, oh, I am very clearly aware that I'm retelling the story, or I am clear that I have become angry, but there's nothing I can do about it. That means you may only have some sort of intellectual understanding of the concept, but you're not really able to fully apply it, to root it in your daily life. And some people also say, I can meditate for many hours a day. What are you doing during these hours? Are you truly practicing? Who knows? We're going to move on to talk about some ways to verify whether we are really practicing on track, and to see the relationship between what is a good root and merit and virtues.
好，刚好提到说，静心品它对我的转化哈，在之前我送比丘戒和菩萨戒，我就发现它过程蛮类似的。140句要背起来不太容易，特别是每一句看起来都蛮像的，只是说对于后面发愿要做什么事情，它其实就是对于我们看到怎样的境界，我们要往比较善，就往善的和往光明的，往上良面和往上提升的这个方向去，而且不是只是自己本身的改变，还希望能够帮助其他的众生改变。哪一些改变呢？像我在这140句里面呢，这几天因为美国的气候它是四季分明，跟他们比起来最大差别就是在台湾树叶掉下来呢，就是绿色直接颜色变成落叶，就是比较灰的咖啡色就直接掉下来。可是这边呢，它掉下来的时候呢，颜色变化非常的丰富，对不对？好，那特别是我们昨天迪迪亚西的法师们和一些菩萨，有菩萨安排我们去附近的果园采苹果。好，那在去的过程当中，就看到果树上面结果实，静心品面就跟大家讲，当看到果树上面开花结果的整个过程，应该要发起怎样的愿心？那我昨天去采苹果，很开心的跑到树上去，要采的时候呢，静心品就浮现出来。好，那我就发现，其实那是过去人的生活模式，他们怎么样子跟这个自然的环境，还有跟人的互动，好，他怎么样升起来的相处模式？那我们普遍上遇到这种很漂亮的，像可能去一些风景区，或者公园，看到这种像枫树的叶子的颜色的变化，我们可能最多就停留在什么？哇，好漂亮，好漂亮！玩看一看，这边拍照拍完。特别现在我们很多人的手机拍完之后，把照片马上放上去，别人就会怎样回复你，按个赞，然后我们就很期待别人要怎样回复我们，对不对？怕我们可能要跟别人分享，哇，这边的风景很漂亮，跟别人分享。可是那种在互动的过程当中，我们发现我们与人的互动已经变成是在跟什么，在跟机器，在跟这个小小的荧幕上互动。可是实际上我们在跟人要互动的过程当中， 我们少了很多能够练习方法的机会，特别是实际上遇到的时候，我们会发现不知道怎么沟通。曾经我有一个老师，他是学这种资讯电子工程的，他跟他的我们老师男的，他跟他太太的互动，在家里哦，同一个房间，一人一台电脑，两个不重讲话的，不讲话就打电脑，打完之后对方看到就回他，这种的互动模式就变得很奇怪。明明可以怎样直接讲话，对不对？像我们，像我那时候在法鼓山，还在台湾法鼓山的时候，在办公室里面也是一样，我们有法师坐在离我大概隔两排而已，他就发 mail 过来给我，我站起来我就转过去看着他，法师我人在这边，你为什么不用讲的？就是这种的互动模式，我们减少了很多。实际上我们能够去察觉到自己内心有什么烦恼，因为有些我们或许不想跟他讲话，或者是要跟他沟通，可能会有情绪上的时候，我们或许透过这种一段距离隐藏着我们的能够去消融自己烦恼的机会，可是我们没有自己把它给怎样放弃了，因为我们害怕去面对这种的状况。那这种害怕其实也是我们需要去面对的一个烦恼的一个问题。
So, as I was saying, in the process of reciting and memorizing the precepts, it actually brought a lot of transformation to me. And in studying the Pure Conduct chapter of Pure Conduct, it reminds me of the process where I recited and memorized the monastic precepts. There are 140 some of them, and they all look very similar. And so it's not easy to remember them clearly. But then as I become acquaint myself with the verses, with the precepts, and starting to remember them, they show us a way to transform ourselves when in daily encounters. It shows us a way to look at the brighter side of things and find ways to transcend ourselves in all sorts of situations. And we do this not only for ourselves, it has the same kind of effect for other people. It's a way to teach us how to reach out to help other people also see the brighter side of situations and also transcend themselves. That's the whole point of also both the chapter as well as the precept. So, for instance, in New York, the four seasons are very distinct. And the process in Taiwan, the seasons all sort of merge together. So when it's autumn and winter, the leaves tend to just turn brown and then drop off. Whereas here in New York, the transition is slower, and you actually see the leaves going through these different phases of very vibrant colors, and they're really pretty to look at. And yesterday, we had this opportunity, some of the volunteers took the monastics up to the orchard for apple picking. And in the chapter of Pure Conduct, they actually talked about when you see a flower bloom and fruit ripening and picking the fruit, what kind of mentality you should bring to this kind of situations. And so yesterday when I was looking at this beautiful scenery and was really excited to go pick the apples, actually the verses surfaced in my mind and I was reminded of it. And then they also taught me, so this is why the origin of these verses, because in the olden days, the people actually interact with the environment, with nature, and with other people. And that's why they will write a verse talking about fruit picking. And also, it's a way to guide the interaction between people. And And also, with these sceneries, what do we usually, without the reminders of the chapter, what are the things that we usually go through? First, we look at the scenery, think, ah, it's beautiful. And in modern days, now with technology, with iPhones, smartphones, what do? We tend to snap a photo and then post it on Facebook or send it out, and then you're hoping people will hit like. And so that sort of alters the way we interact with other people. And I think it actually takes away a lot of opportunities for practice. Because now, these days, we interact, so much of our time is interacting with the monitor, with computer screen. People interact with each other through the monitors, through computers, instead of face-to-face interactions. And that's a loss of opportunities for practice. I remember I used to have a teacher, he taught technology engineering. And at home, oftentimes he and his wife will both be working on the computer and they don't really talk to each other. Whenever they need to converse, they will send each other a text and they're each playing computer games. That's the dynamic between the couple. And I thought that was quite peculiar. And also, when I was back in DDM, working in the office, similar situations. There will be a Fashi sitting right next to me, actually, and instead of coming over to talk to me, this Fashi will send me an email telling me, oh, these are the things you have to do. And at those times, I would stand up, walk over to his desk, and say, Fashi, I am here. Why don't you just talk to me directly? Why did you have to send me an email about it? So, like I said, it's I think these are opportunities lost for practice. With technology, computer, Facebook, it creates distance. It's a distance for us to hide behind. You may feel that you dislike someone, so with this email or this technological distance, you don't have to confront that person directly. But at the same time, even with fear or dislikes, these are all golden opportunities to practice. These are things that we need to learn from.
好，我刚刚进来这边的时候发现苹果在我桌上。
As I walk into the hall, I realized the apples we picked yesterday are actually here on the altar.
好，那我们今天要讲哪边呢？我们先大概跟大家介绍复习上一次讲了什么哈。进行品的整个架构呢，它分为长按和寄送。跟一般的我们看到的经典或者宣说经典的架构是大致上是一样的。长行就是会一段先讲请法的过程是什么，接着会把方法观念讲完之后，内容整个讲完之后，在后面会 一段短短的寄送，就是用我们记子那种短短的五句或是四个字、五个字或七个字，一组一组这样子去讲。我们可能送普门品或是送大悲咒也都会有，前面先一段经文，后面比较短短的这种偈子，方便我们背诵吼。那同样的进行品这样架构，那在进行品它是分成两个，就长行寄送。那长行呢，它是先说明它是自首菩萨向文殊菩萨请法，那文殊菩萨就回答他的修行法门是什么，怎样修行，那他修行的重点是在我们怎么样子达到我们的三业，也就是身、语、意三业的清净和精进。那这一品他的重点是在寄送，也就是文殊菩萨他开始讲说他的修行方法是靠发愿，他总共发了140个愿，要来达成长行所说的愿望。什么愿望呢？就是怎么样子三业清净和三业精进。而三业清净所要说的是告诉我们是不犯一切的过失，而三业精进是修一切的功德。
So let's go straight into the text of the Pure Conduct chapter. This chapter is divided into two sections. The first one is in the prose format, and the second is in the verse format. And the prose format talks about the process of requesting Dharma teaching, as well as a brief overview of what the verses is about. And the verse, usually it's composed of phrases of 4 characters, 5 characters, or 7 characters, similar to the ones that you have probably recited already in the Universal Door chapter or in the other sutras. And the purpose of having these verses is meant for the ease, facilitate recitation and facilitate memorization. So in the prose sections of the Pure Conduct chapter, it talks about how the foremost wisdom Bodhisattva requesting teaching from Manjushri Bodhisattva, asking Manjushri Bodhisattva to expound about what does one do in order to purify the 3 karmas of speech, bodily conduct, as well as the mind and thought. So in the prose section, Manjushri Bodhisattva explained that he did so mostly through making vows to reach these goals. That's the goals of having purified the 3 karmas. And the specific goals are listed in the 140 verses that's in the chapter. The goals of purifying 3 karma means to not make any transgressions. That's purification of 3 karma, as well as to practice the 3 karma more rigorously is a way to cultivate our merit and virtue.
静心品它一个很重要的跟其他大圣经典很不一样，特别是华严经整其他的39品，华严经总共40品跟其他39品比起来很不一样的是，大圣经典普遍上是强调智慧，空的智慧，特别我们看般若经系列的，还有华严经讲的也都是这种不可思议的智慧，它不是我们可以去用我们的语言文字去说明的，就是用语言文字去了解，而是要去实践这种般若空慧的部分。可是静心品它很特别的是，它强调发愿的重要性。那这个发愿的重要性呢，是把我们佛法所说的慈悲的观念怎么样子落实，还有跟智慧怎么样子去结合。而从静心品里面我们可以看到，他每一段就是先看到怎样子的过程，是先四个字，他可能说若见大树，或是我们在走在路上可能看到尘土飞扬起来，接着他说当愿众生，那像尘土飞扬起来就希望我们可以看到自己的内心烦恼现前，接着怎么样子去对治，会在最后四个字讲，我们应该要在当下看到之后要得大安乐啊，或者是要懂得离开这个尘垢的状况啊，所以静心品它后面的偈颂都是每四句四句为一偈，那每一句都四个字，所以是16个字16个字为一组，去告诉我们日常生活当中所有遇到的状况，包括可能我们日常生活中起来之后会刷牙洗脸漱口，这些都有提到，吃饭的时候哪一些都有提到，那这是整个静心品它的一个架构。
So a major distinction between this chapter and the rest of Avatamsaka Sutra, the rest of the 39 chapters, is as well as a major distinction between this chapter and the other sutras that belongs to the Prajna school, is that the focus, instead of focusing on wisdom, this wondrous, unspeakable wisdom, and focusing on the wisdom of emptiness. The chapter of pure conduct actually focuses and emphasizes the importance of making vows. And also, it talks about how to embody the compassion that we have been talking about all this time, and how to integrate both compassion and wisdom. So these 140 verses, consisted of four characters. Four makes a 16, and that's one unit. 140 of these such verses. And each one, usually the first four characters will first talk about a situation that you encounter, and then briefly describe the kind of vexations that may arise, and then at the end, it will give you a resolution of how to counter this kind of mentality. That's the basic structure of this chapter.
这样子的发愿呢，它有两个的意思在里面哈。第一个是我们学习菩萨们的悲愿心，看菩萨们怎么样子发愿度众生。那这个是持续的发愿，持续发愿是很重要的，不要忘记我们跟人的互动的关联性。好，再来是我们见贤思齐，好，我们学习菩萨度众生的精神。那从这里面我们可以看到，菩萨们时时刻刻与众生相连结，这是慈悲心。他怎么发愿去度众生，离开烦恼？是智慧心，所以同时很特别的就是，在一般我们刚刚提到《大愿经典》，它比较少讲到怎么样子去做关联的部分，在《见贤品》里面同时讲到，而且它这个所谓离开呢，它是就近的离开，所以就近离开是它一定是跟般若的空慧它是有相关联的，它是有相关联性的，因为他所谓的离开都是往最后成佛的方向去努力，往成佛方向去努力的。
So, with regard to the importance of making vows, there are two aspects. The first one is that we need to learn from the great bodhisattvas and learn their compassionate wisdoms in making these great vows.And continuously, the repeatedly making these vows is important to making it really sink in and steep in, so that we are deeply steeped in these vows. And also, we should learn how the great bodhisattvas make connections with sentient beings. The fact that they are able to connect with them is called great compassion, whereas thinking of ways to lead them apart, departing from sufferings, that's called wisdom. And this kind of departure that we talk about, we're talking about ultimate departure, because the ultimate goal with these departuring is related to obtaining Buddhahood. So that is the kind of goals that we should set for ourselves.
而我们一般呢，我们的发愿齁，是怎么样子的发愿呢？跟菩萨们的差别在哪边呢？我们一般修行的时候，我们是希望，就是我在修行的时候，我在念佛，或是我在打坐，或是我今天来道场写消灾牌位，写超荐牌位，我们都是希望诸佛菩萨能够帮我们达成可能身体健康或是家人平安，好，我们可能就是这样子。但是跟菩萨们的差别，跟我们看到诸佛菩萨差别在哪边，诸佛菩萨是发愿是希望别人怎么样，而这个变怎么样是因为我们自己曾经知道我们内心有哪些烦恼的现前，所以我们可能在打坐的时候，我们是希望什么？希望我们的烦恼少一点。可是呢，我们或许在打坐的时候， 有一段时间很安静，好像感觉哎，没有什么样子的干扰，也没有什么烦恼。可是起坐之后呢，遇到境界的时候，我们却抱怨外面的环境，他没有顺我们的意思啊，他可能是别人有什么问题啊，不了解我们。那我这时候其实我们就是陷在什么？陷在烦恼里面，可是我们没办法察觉，我们只希望自己又能够回到什么？那种安静的状况，所以我们是用一种有期待的心，期待什么？有好的体验。当我们有好的体验之后呢，我们能够面对境界现前，所以我们就觉得，是不是我打坐的功夫不够，再回去再打坐。可是永远没有看到背后，我们当烦恼现前之后，为什么佛法用不上力呢？就是我们刚刚提到的，我们不是用心去体验真正佛法它所讲的意义是什么，所以我们经常让自己是在烦恼当中，那好像感觉整个世界跟我们是对立的，是冲突的。
So in terms of making vows, usually for ordinary people when we're practicing, when we make vows, usually it has to do with hoping our wishes can be granted by the bodhisattvas and buddhas, say good health or achieving some sort of goals. It's for self. But for bodhisattvas and buddhas, when they make vows for others. And they make vows hoping that they will depart from sufferings,based on themselves having gone through similar kind of sufferings, understanding the source and the process of having vexations, and then hoping others can depart from this kind of sufferings. So their vows are for others, not for the self. So for instance, when we're meditating, when we sit, usually we're hoping that our vexations will gradually decrease.And maybe if we sit well for a short period of time, we can feel light and ease. But once we get up from the meditation cushion, then we may soon be entangled in all sorts of situations and be dwelling in vexations again. So usually in this kind of situations, we don't realize what's the real source of problem. We may think,that means my meditation is not good enough. I need to go back and practice more. And then so you keep going back and forth, practice more, coming out of meditation, having vexations, going back to practice, back and forth, not realize that your practice is actually based on a mind that's harboring a lot of expectations for the self. So when we feel that...that our methods, our practice is not very helpful to our daily situations, that shows that our practice has been more on the superficial end. It doesn't hit to the core. And we haven't really been truly mindful to try to apply Buddha Dharma into our daily life. And in that kind of case, we may constantly feel that we and the world are in oppositions, in conflict.
而当我们提到在修行的过程当中，我们会察觉到自己可能修行的功夫不够，所以想要在有更多时间能够修行，而去处理这种当我们离开打坐或者离开念佛，就是修行的时候，能够去面对这种跟外在的冲突。如果我们能够去察觉到在那种冲突状况，它是一种烦恼现前，而当这个烦恼现前之后呢，我们懂得知道说，第一个是我们自己，这是因为我们自己的烦恼现前，我们有一些执着，可能我想要怎么做而便不如我们的意，可是我们这时候能够放下这个我们认为应该怎么做便不如我们意的这个想法的时候， 就是在离开烦恼的第一步。而当有这个第一步之后，我们会想着，哎，外在因缘是什么？我们能怎么样子能够配合这个因缘？我们从这一面呢，我们其实就开始去想着，哎，别人的环境是什么？他或许有同样的问题，好，那我们怎么样子也真的能够是配合着当下因缘这样子去处理事情的时候，那这就是所谓佛法所讲的，我们懂得先看到自己本身自己的问题，也就是自己的苦，那我们从这个苦当中怎么样子离开出来，我们去从中看到所谓的我们刚提到配合真正实际的因缘去处理事情啊。我们来学佛，我们知道佛法可以运用，那我们实际上去把这个问题解决。好，而在这个解决过程当中，我们并不是说我们要去牺牲自己什么，而就是流俗啊，就是方便他什么的，我们不是用这种心态去处理，去一种消极的去处理。好，而是我们懂得看到自己的问题，这时候升起什么呢？升起是不是讲说这时候是升起惭愧心？第一个是我们修行功不够，还会去伤害到别人；第二是我们透过在这种互动过程当中，我们去感恩所有因缘的成就，而且我们真的是发起一个是要帮助别人的心，去把这件事情或是这个状况能够处理。不管是对人还是对于事，那我们这时候能够发起这样子的一个心呢的这种状况，我们把它称为善根，我称为善根。那我们发起真的想要是为了大众的利益出发的时候，并不是说牺牲我们什么的这样一种心，它是所谓的菩提心。我们可能一直 听到说要发菩提心，菩提心是什么？就是在事情或是跟人在处理上面或是在相处上面，我们能够发现自己的不足，是用这么多烦恼在处理事情，那我们升起一个惭愧心，可能因为我们有烦恼现前，或许会伤害别人，以后呢我们去感恩所有因缘的成就，好，变得包容，最后我们也希望能够这件事情的完成是对于大众有利的，整个过程它被称为菩提心。那这样子一个修行过程当中，我们慢慢的减少我们的烦恼执着，那我们因为有这样子一个概念，我们把它称为就是一点点的智慧的现前的累积，所以它是一个整个完整的修行，从我们知道开始修行，懂得用方法是善根的现前，而整个这样的一个心，我们讲说从有惭愧忏悔到感恩到发愿度众生，而且想把佛法真的落实，这是菩提心的现前。而这样一个整个过程的，我们叫做真正的功德具足，它才是真正的功德具足。我们一般讲说我们布施他有功德，他有什么功德？我们可能只是落在表象上的，我今天来布施，我们一提到，刚开始一提到，是用一种怎样交换的心，用一种交换的心来做布施，所以过去普利达摩和莲武帝的故事，莲武帝他做了很多善事，铺桥造路这些的，他有一天就问达摩祖师，他有什么功德吗？他这样做是有没有什么功德？普利达摩，达摩祖师就直接跟他讲什么？没有，你什么功德都没有，因为这是用什么？一种交换的心。那我们是不是也落入到同样的一种方式里面去呢？好。
So, in this process of practice,maybe oftentimes we'll feel that we need more time to practice so that we're able to deal with these external conflicts that we're confronted with. not really realizing that actually amidst of all these conflicts, it's an opportunity for us to observe and notice the vexations we have. The reason why we have these vexations is because we have attachment. We are attached to any kind of concept, preconception, of thinking this is a better way of dealing with this problem, that person is wrong, etc. So the first step is noticing that these conflicts actually means we have internal vexations. And then moving on to really try to let go of our preconceived notions, our own attachment, to objectively analyze the conditions to find a best way to solve the problem and dealing with others. So to be able to see our own suffering, our own vexations, is the first step to depart from these sufferings and vexations. And then to be able to see, have the wisdom to see all sorts of conditions that's at play at the moment that give rise to that situation. And by having a realistic assessment will help us deal with and solve the problems. And also with the knowledge of using Buddha Dharma, in applying Buddha Dharma into solving, dealing with the situations. It doesn't mean that by seeing the conditions and understanding where other people are coming from, it doesn't mean that we are blindly following and letting them do whatever they wish to do. That's not necessarily the case. But instead, to have a realistic assessment of the situation, we can apply wisdom and deal with the issues at hand best. At the same time, it also doesn't mean that we have to make a lot of self-sacrifice. That's not necessarily the case. So instead, we should first give rise to a repentance, a mind of repentance and feeling that repent for the harms that we have done for the others in the situations. And then furthermore, give rise to the thought of feeling grateful, being grateful of all the conditions that are in place to bring to this day's result and all the things that's working simultaneously to make things work. So first to repent and then be grateful and then give rise to the thought of helping others, trying to solve the problems, not to benefit the self, but benefit others. And to be able to give rise to this kind of vows to help others means it's equivalent to having good roots. And when you expand it to try to benefit all the greater other people instead of just the self, that is called generating the Bodhi mind. We hear this a lot, generating Bodhi mind. Exactly how do you go about doing that? Simply trying to benefit others, not just the self, is giving rise to the Bodhi mind. And in this process, using wisdom, it doesn't mean necessarily mean self-sacrifice. So with a decrease of your vexations, wisdom will gradually manifest itself. And this is what we really... what is the true meaning of having both merit and virtue? Sometimes we talk about practicing the practice of giving, thinking that, oh, giving, making donations will generate a lot of merit and virtue. But do ask yourself carefully whether in this process you are hoping for something in return. This is not supposed to be a process of making exchanges. I'm sure you all are all familiar with the story of Bodhidharma, and between Bodhidharma and the Emperor Wu of Liang Dynasty, Liang Wudi. So Liang Wudi had given a lot of donations and built a lot of temples, built statues. So one day he asked Bodhidharma, "How much merit and virtue have I generated?" And the answer he was given is none. You haven't generated any merit and virtue. And the reason why that's the answer is because when the emperor is doing all these deeds of giving, he's actually hoping for merit and virtue in return with a kind of mentality that's not true practice.
好，我们现在来看金精品的寄送。前面十一季呢， 金鱼它总共140季，那它分成的项目是前11季是在讲在家生活，从12季开始一直到26季是在家转变成出家生活的一个过程，过了26季之后呢，原上这从第27季以后，他讲的是我们日常生活当中，原上是出家人的生活应该怎么样子过。可是实际上这一些寄送对于大家来说也都是日常生活当中会去遇到的，因此它是通在家跟出家的。
So there are a total of 140 verses. The first 11 verses has to do with the daily living of lay people. From verse number 12, the 12th verse to 26th, it's specifically related to the monastics when they receive the precept. And then from verse 27, moving on to verse 140,These, initially, it's talking about how the monastics should conduct themselves in daily situation, daily conduct, all the nitty-gritties of everyday living. But it actually can be applied to lay people as well, because it's talking about everyday schedules and activities.So, verse 27 to verse 140, these can be used both by lay people as well as the monastics.
好，第一句是讲菩萨在家，当愿众生舍离家难，入空法中。他讲什么呢？在家菩萨，就我们大家的日常生活，一个家庭的组合，我们会遇到一些问题，这些问题呢，可能是大家互相的纠缠，或者是迫害、怀疑，它是不只是自己一个家，可能只有3个人、4个人组成，它是一个家族，一整个家族的组合在一起，会有哪一些呢？可能是小朋友的升学问题，或是找工作，可能有些人失业了，有些人想换工作，乃至于整个家庭，可能我不知道美国这边的状况，像台湾可能有一些大家族，可能长辈往生了，留下了一笔财产，大家为了这笔财产怎样争产，结果最后反目成仇，就是像这种种种的这些的问题，它都是家难。那这个家难呢，它不包括会弄到家破人亡，家破人亡的是在最后面对危难的心态，只是这种家庭的这种纷争，大家吵来吵去，彼此弄得很不高兴，你讲整个家里面弄到乌烟瘴气啊，大家鸡犬不宁的这种状况，我们通通把它称为家难。当遇到这种的问题的时候呢，就是我们在家里面会遇到很多菩萨在家，整个大家族或是自己小小的一个家庭，那会很多问题产生。当问题产生的时候呢，我们要舍离家难入空法中。那怎么样子入空法中呢？我们刚提到诸位都具备善根来学习佛法，知道说有问题在，怎么样子处理这些烦恼，这时候呢，我们就用佛法来，用智慧的佛法来处理。那怎么处理呢？师父的两句话，以慈悲处理事，不是，是以慈悲怎样对待人，以智慧处理事。那智慧处理事情呢，是懂得用因缘果法则去处理。那这个就是第一个句子告诉我们大家， 怎么样子面对问题，而这些问题的组成不外乎是人和事这两件事情的组成。我们懂得用佛法的慈悲和智慧来处理。
So the first verse is, a bodhisattva of the lay life should vow that sentient beings will realize the empty nature of the household and avoid oppression from it. Generally speaking, it's talking about oppressions or problems in the family. It can be relating to attachment, to all sorts of arguments, the normal stock of family problems. So sometimes it may be relating to how to educate the children in the family, relating to losing a job and having to find a new, having to find work, to have a source of income. And it may also, I don't know whether it happens here in the U.S. or not, but in Taiwan, sometimes families, the elders in the family will pass away, leaving X amount of money, and actually the children will fight over it, and leading to splitting up of the family. So these are all sorts of the problems and oppressions from families that we talk about. So to deal with these problems, we are hoping that people can depart from these oppressions of families and to enter the wisdom, the Dharma of emptiness. Dealing with problems, we should use Buddha Dharma. And as Shifu has said, we treat others with compassion and we deal with problems with wisdom. What kind of wisdom is this? The wisdom of understanding having cause and conditions and the laws behind it. And you use compassion and wisdom to deal with the people and the matter. And this is how you resolve problems in the family and depart from the oppressions of families.
第二个是讲父母关系，就是我们跟我们的父母的相处。先讲孝事父母，当愿众生一切护养，永得大安。我们一般在跟我们自己的父母在互动的时候，可能小时候我们很听话，到了长大在外念书，慢慢的我们会自己觉得自己怎样，在外已经四面见多了，懂得怎么样子处理了，就会开始跟父母讲说，这个你不懂啊，为什么呢？因为你那是老人家的想法，已经隔一个时代了，可能我们现在在座一些菩萨们，自己的子女可能会这样跟自己互动，对不对？或许有，那我们可能在我们还年轻的时候，可能也是这种跟父母互动，对不对？好，所以这边所谓跟父母的互动呢，我们是在互动过程当中呢，我们是在第一个是在口语上面的，用柔软柔和的语言跟他们互动，还有就是语气上面也是平顺的，不是那种不耐烦的沟通 方式，还有可能就是脸色上面的表达，这些其实都是包含在里面的。可能不耐烦我们就会眉头皱起来，或是讲没几句话就不想听他们讲，他就回说你不懂啊，你们的想法是很比较就老人家可能就古老的那种想法。我小时候在念书的时候也会这样子。那所以这种的就是我们在不管是口语上面的，不是只是说拿钱给他们的这种互动模式，而是口语上面的令他们快乐安慰他们，那这种关怀才是真正做到孝事父母孝顺的方法。那我们除了跟自己的父母是这样子的方法对待呢，我们跟其他众生也是用同样的方式去对待他们，去对待他们。那所谓永得大安是像他们永远的安乐，所谓的安乐呢就是就近安乐，就是进到一种所谓涅槃安乐。涅槃不是说真的人往生是真的涅槃，就是涅槃是在我们现在内心的一种极静， 让他少烦少恼。像佛陀的弟子们遇到佛陀的时候呢，跟他请安的时候呢，都会问佛陀最近是不是少烦少恼。好，我们可能看经典都会看到这个，哎，佛陀你是不是少烦少恼，身体是不是有健康。好，就是用这种的互动方式，那跟大家跟其他众生互动，好，把其他人也当作佛陀一样对待，永得大安，就是像佛陀得到究竟的安乐，用这种方式跟大众在做互动。
The second verse is, when I serve my parents in filiality, I vow that sentient beings will serve the Buddha skillfully and protect and nourish everything. So I don't know about you, but when usually young people interacting with the elderly, with their parents, with the elderly in the family, maybe they were quite supple and understanding when they were kids, but as they start going out, working, going to school, they may start feel, these young people may start to feel that, oh, I have seen the world, so I know what's going on better than you do. So whenever the parent or the elders in the family would try to give advice, young people would then say, you don't understand. You don't understand how the world works now. I know better. Your ways of thinking is outdated. So that's often the case. So what over here, what they are saying is, in interaction with parents and elders in the family, in terms of speech, we should try to be gentle and accommodating, be patient, not full of impatience and just brushing them off. And also, in terms of your own facial expression, it should be gentle and understanding instead of frowns or some sort of unpleasant facial expression that's showing your impatience. It's not only talking about, providing your parents with financial, with money, but it's also being both verbally and in terms of behavior, conduct, show how much you care and being gentle with your conduct. And not only to one's parents, we should treat all sentient beings with similar mentality, hoping that everyone will obtain great peace that's similar to nirvana. By nirvana, we don't mean that people are passing away. Nirvana means just being in peace in this present moment, to have less vexations and to be well in your physical functions. And in the sutra, oftentimes we'll hear disciples of the Buddha will inquire after him and saying, "Ah, Buddha, are you feeling well? Do you have less? Do you have little vexations these days? Are you well in your body?" And so that's the kind of well wishes that we want to give forth, not only to your parents, but also to all sentient beings that we encounter.
再来是第三和第六集一起看哈，他讲的是夫妻和子女的关系。偈子是第三偈是妻子集会，当愿众生令出爱欲，无恋慕心。第六偈是若在房室，当愿众生入贤圣地，永离欲会。这可能我们一般在家菩萨做到比较难，原则上他是受了菩萨戒，他懂得怎么发心之后会比较知道该朝哪个方向去或许难达到我们在论语里面有提到高山仰止，谨行行止，虽不能至，心向往之。就是说或许我们现在因为在家生活可能不管是跟自己的太太还是跟自己的丈夫我们的互动呢是这种所谓爱慕的心它像什么呢？这边提到像牢狱一样，我们可能这一生这一世跟自己的另一半 有些人会说，我下一生、下一世、来生、来世，永远都要怎样跟你做夫妻？现在有人摇头哈、哦。这个呢，是我们以修学佛法角度来看，我们是希望我们怎么样，在未来世尽未来际发愿修学佛法。或许我们现在这一世可能没有因缘可以出家修学佛法，可是呢，他希望达成的是什么呢？是我们这一世既然种下一个修学佛法善根啊，特别是如果是受菩萨戒的，就会知道他是尽未来际、啊、因此不是把这份舍不得、啊、放不下的心一直延续下去，特别是当我们已经有佛法在上面修学的时候，我们怎么用佛法的角度来跟自己最亲的亲人，不管是子女还是自己的另一半，用佛法跟他们相处，而且也可能宗教信仰不一样，但是我们怎么把佛法跟他分享，用分享的方式，就是所谓分享，就是我们怎么样子实践佛法跟他们相处，其实我们自己的亲人就能够感受到、哦、那或许宗教信仰不一样，或许他会觉得我们来修学佛法之间，可能他们在，可能他们没办法接受、哦、有些人可能是自己一个人来修学佛法，可是呢，我们自己怎么样子处理很重要，还有就是用佛法的观念和方法跟自己的家人互动，帮助他们。或许他们可能现在在佛法上面，他们可能会不以为然。可是我们在跟互动过程中，当我们有改变之后，他们其实会受影响的。我一个同学哈，我同学，圣大的同学，他那时候要出家的时候呢，他父亲非常反对，非常反对，他觉得让他念台大毕业，供给他一些好一个好工作，哦，像他能够成家立业，这一般都是我们的中国传统的想法。可他最后选择出家，他选择出家之后呢，他父亲曾经上山，就唯一那么一次哦。就会那么一次，连他在，对，他就上山一次，而且他那次上山来的时候呢，去看他的时候，他连要在山上吃饭都不愿意，他觉得我不是为你来吃这一口饭，好、哦，他反对到这样子。可是我听我同学来讲，他老菩萨最后是怎么样子呢？他虽然表面上反对，可是慢慢的他回去俗家看他两位老菩萨的时候，他发现他父亲在桌上会开始看师父的书。为什么？他其实开始想了解，第一个是了解他儿子到底在想什么。那想知道他想什么呢？怎么样就要知道把我儿子骗走这个人到底在做什么。所以他就开始看师父的书、哦、那其实慢慢的他，我同学说其实他爸爸就开始改变了、哦、本来是那种他们老一辈的都是很大男人主义那一种、啊、其实慢慢的就开始有在转化了、哦、那这种就是或许我们现在可能在互动过程中有些不那么顺利，可是我们自己懂得处理之后，那我们提到就是我们开始有转化，其实家人他会察觉到，他有时候表面上，我同时说他父亲就是表面上不反映出来，可是实际上已经慢慢在转化。好，那 我们用这种就是出离爱欲的心，是不是讲说像 这种爱欲那么强啊？哈，这边的欲啊，它是地狱的欲哈，就是像在怎样这种整个的亲情的纠葛，像是在地狱里面，是不是讲说结婚像是一个怎样无期徒刑？哈，两个离不开，好，所以我们就是。现在组一个家庭，那我们要用佛法是互相的勉励，而不是怎样。有时候爱的越深，它其实背后是怎样，那种嗔恨心是越强的。因为我觉得我是为你好，你怎么就是不懂得理解？这时候其实就转化成是什么？是恨的一个心在里面，它是同时两个纠结在里头。那这样一直纠结下去，它是无止境的，所以我们是用佛法的观念彼此互相的勉励，那希望大家能够从当中出离这个爱欲，然后没有那种恋慕一直放不下舍不得的心。
Next we're going to talk about the third verse and the sixth verse together, which states, when I am together with my wife, with my spouse, I vow that sentient beings will treat friends and foe alike and renounce forever the attachment of greed. The sixth verse says, when I am in the palace or the house, I vow that sentient beings will enter the level of a sage and entirely eradicate filthy desires. These two are talking about the mentality we should have when dealing with our spouse and to be in a family. And it may be hard, a little bit harder for lay bodhisattvas because, but once you have taken the bodhisattva precepts, it's easier for you to understand the direction of your practice and what you should be aiming for. Even though it may not be attainable right away, but just like a common Chinese verse that says the mountain is high and the great conduct is admirable, even though I cannot achieve it right away, but I aspire toward them. So over here, these two verses are basically talking about admiration. Having a mind of the thoughts of desires is actually similar to a prison. And some people, when they get married, they may make vows to each other saying, I will love you and let's remain as husband and wife for eons to come, life after life. And actually, I saw some people shaking their head here. What we are trying to do after we have starting to learn Buddha Dharma, we actually vow to study Buddha Dharma, life after life. What we're trying to, and also the Bodhisattva precepts that we have taken, for those of you who have taken it, you know it's inexhaustible. It goes from life after life. It's those kind of vows that we want to extend and expand. It's not our the smaller scope of love for our spouse, attachment, that we want to extend for life after life. And so having understanding that, we know that when we are interacting with our spouse, we need to use the Buddha Dharma, and also with our families. Even if people in the family have different religions, we can still share Buddha Dharma with them, not so much in speech, but in our actual behavior. Once you yourself has been transformed because of Buddha Dharma, it will show in your behavior and in the way you interact with other people. And this reminds me of a classmate I had at the Sangha University. When this classmate first became a monastic, his father was very unforgiving. He couldn't understand that why is that I spend all these resources and that you have graduated from Taiwan University, and I have hope that you will get a good job and create your own family following this traditional route. Why is it that instead of following that path, you want to become a monk? So this father, I remember he has only visited his son once, and he came to see him, and he wasn't even willing. He didn't even want to stay for lunch. that's the kind of anger he has toward his son's decision. But over a period of time, when my classmate actually went home to visit his parents to see how they're doing, he actually saw his father starting to read some books by Shi Fu. And I guess the mentality of the father is, I am going to check this out to see what is it that has lured my son away. Who is this guy, Shen Yan, who wrote all these books and took my son? But slowly, by reading these books and understanding Buddha Dharma, my classmate's father actually is undergoing some transformation himself as well. Even though he wouldn't admit it himself, but in his behavior, it's already changing. His father used to be quite chauvinistic, and he's no longer that way anymore. He's becoming more gentle and supple, even not admitting to it. So over here, what we are really trying to point out is we hope that all sentient beings, as well as ourselves, will depart from this prison of desires, of love, desires. And over here, we emphasize the prison aspect, saying that by being attached to love, to desires, it's a lifelong prison without ending. And oftentimes people also say when you love deeply, you also hate deeply. Forever, you are entangled with each other. But by using Buddha Dharma, we're hoping to leave from this prison, and we're also hoping that all sentient beings will do so as well.
好，再是第五句是五欲的处理，是修行的处理。好，他说：若在祭月，当愿众生悉得法乐，见法如幻。就说我们平常生活当中，或许有时候有一些压力，我们需要调剂我们的身心。那这时候，我们或许会去看电影、唱歌，好。那在这边可能就是，像我昨天来这边，听说现在美国职棒在季后赛，啊，在法拉盛那边有纽约大都会的球场，好，所以昨天来就塞车，因为很多人可能就带着小朋友去看一场球赛，好。那这种所谓的休闲娱乐呢，我们主要是有些娱乐是有这些休闲娱乐是为什么呢？因为我们想要，我们刚提到想要抒发我们的压力，好，调剂身心一下。那以佛法角度来看呢，是这样子的一种抒发呢，我们在抒发的过程当中，我们希望大家悉得法乐，见法如幻的心态是什么呢？是当我们在这种调节的过程当中，就抒发压力的过程当中，我们知道所有的事情它都是因缘合而成的，也就是跟人或是跟事的互动会让我们造成压力的这些来源，它都是当下因缘合而成的，啊，会因缘合而成呢？如果当我们执着它的时候，抓它不放的时候，它就产生烦恼。可是我们如果懂得它是因缘合的，那这种事情上面的，就是法上面的，它一切都是因为它合而成，所以当下因缘具足起来，它就聚集。可是当这些组成的条件不存在的时候，它就幻灭了。这告诉我们，内心不要产生这种执着心。而这种执着心的来源，最大来源是什么呢？是因为贪的关系。好，我们所讲《神语》里面所讲到爱的部分，它其实就是因为我们贪爱执取。这个贪爱执取，它分两个，一个是我们喜欢的抓着不放，一个是我们讨厌的希望它怎样离开我们。可是其实我们都是执取着它，我们执取不好的，因为我们觉得有一个好的，所以我们希望它远离我们，把这个不好的希望它赶快离开，都是因为我们执着的，我们认为一个是我们的有一个价值判断的标准在那边，我们希望能够顺着我们，那都是希望怎样 种都是一种贪取，贪取我们希望的东西，哦，不管它是好的还是往不好的方向去，我们都会认定有一个标准在那边，所以我们贪执取了它。在这贪执过程当中，我们因为自己这时候是烦恼现前，好，我们讲这就是烦恼，所以烦恼现前，所以没办法看到因缘和合它的变化过程啊。这时候唯有我们放下我们自己烦恼的这种执着心啊，看才能够看清当下的因缘是怎样子去和合聚集到最后的散去的、散灭掉的。
The fifth verse talks about how the kind of mentality we should have when dealing with the five desires. And the verse goes, when I am in the musical gathering or among songstresses, I vow that sentient beings will entertain themselves with the Dharma and understand those talents and phenomena are not real, illusory. In these modern days, these kind of forms of entertainment can be movies, going to singing karaoke. And when I was getting here yesterday, I heard that there's a Mets game going on. So families may take their kids to see baseball games. So these are all different forms of entertainment. And the reason why we have them is a way to release pressure from daily lives. And what we are hoping, what we're aiming to do instead is in this process, even amidst of enjoying the entertainment, to understand the illusory nature of phenomenon. So instead, we should have this kind of understanding. We should know that all phenomenons come together as a result of cause and conditions. And when we are attached to any particular set of cause and conditions, then we have vexations. But by understanding that these cause and vexations will come and they shift and they change and will disintegrate, we'll gradually realize that there's really no need to be so attached. Attachment actually is generated because of greed. And there are two forms of attachment. Usually when things are favorable, then we grasp onto it, not willing to let go. And when things are unfavorable, then we try to escape, to try to run away from them. And either of these is ultimately related to attachment. We are attached to one preconceived notion, thinking that using our own judgment or predetermination, thinking that there is some sort of standard that must be achieved. And that's why we either grasp or we try to escape. And in this process, vexations comes up. And that's all because we cannot see that everything is merely a coming together and disintegration of cause and conditions.
好，我们今天时间到了。不过今天跟大家分享的呢，第一个是我们在开始知道这要修行的时候是善根的现前。当善根现前之后，我们知道自己哪些东西没有具足。好，我们这是所谓不具足的，是我们过去可能曾经伤害对方或什么的，我们升起惭愧忏悔的心，再是感恩大众的成就，各因缘的和合成就起来，我们发起要度众生的心，这时候是菩提心的现前。第一个是我们知道自己过去这种不好的状况，我们想要从这里面处理出来。好，我们看见自己的烦恼现前，好，所以我们想处理出来，这处理心。啊，我们知道自己曾经有这样子的过程，所以我们也希望众生能够从里面处理出来，离苦得乐。所以这是我们讲的是菩提心的现前，好，帮助众生。啊，在这过程当中，我们从一个一个烦恼慢慢的处理出来，就是我们的功德一个一个慢慢的具备，所以整个是从善根的现前到发起菩提心度众生，慢慢的一个一个功德的具足，就是我们在修行上面，我们慢慢发现自己该往哪个方向去，这是所谓功德慢慢的一个一个具足，就是我们看到佛陀他成佛是一个一个慢慢的烦恼当中慢慢的 处理出来，就像菩萨修行的戒持五十二戒持，慢慢一层一层慢慢向上。好，它或许是一个很长很长的一个历程，可是当我们已经知道自己善根现前，把握住这个机会，好，把握住机会，而且发起帮助众生，不只是自己要处理，发愿帮助众生。好，这是我们所讲展现菩提心的展现，也跟着现前。到最后，我们看到自己的成果，一个一个，好，在这个过程当中，一个慢慢的从烦恼当中一个处理出来，就所谓的一个一个的功德具足。所以这功德具足是我们在法义上面的实践，而不是只是表象上面，我们是用一种我们刚提到一开始如果是错误的是一种发愿，是一种用一种想要一种追求的一种期待的心，转化成是帮助大众能够共同修行的力量。这是净心品告诉我们修行的方向。
So because of time, we have to wrap up. And to quickly recapitulate what we talked about today is in the beginning, the good root manifested itself, and we want to start to practice. That is the first stage. And then gradually in the process, we start to know that there are certain areas that we need further practice. It's knowing what is lacking within oneself. And then...By knowing that, we will first repent for all the harms that we have committed, that we have done to others in the past, and then also give rise to great gratitude, to be thankful of all the conditions that have brought us to where we are today. And then furthermore, because of the sufferings that we have gone through ourselves, we want to help other people relieve from their own sufferings.And that is to give rise to this mind of departing denunciation, helping others to depart from suffering as well. And that is called the Bodhi mind. And gradually, as we practice releasing ourselves from the grasp of vexations, layer by layer, our merit and virtue will gradually become more and more complete.It may take a very, very long time, just like you're shedding the vexations layer by layer. And this kind of practice has to do with actually embodying, understanding Buddha Dharma, not the kind of external practice that we talked about earlier as a form of exchange, hoping to gain something. That's not it. It's truly understanding the Dharma and then cherishing the opportunities that you have to practice, and furthermore, vowing to help all sentient beings. So that's basically an overall direction of our practice that's been explained in the chapter. And this also gives us a roadmap for the process of practice.
最后，大家今天来这边听经是诸位的善根现前，回去懂得开始实践佛法。是除了自己练习之外，也帮助其他人共同在修学佛法上面帮助其他的众生，这是菩提心的展现。最后自己懂得从远离烦恼的执着，那往智慧方向，往成佛方向去，是功德具足。感谢大家今天来这边听经，最后谢谢我们今天翻译，愿菩萨，阿弥陀佛。
So the fact that you're here today, listening to this talk, that means that your good root has already manifested itself, and now you go home to try to practice it to benefit yourself and all transform yourself, as well as using what you know to benefit other people, and that's called the cultivation of your Bodhi mind. Third, gradually by departing from these vexations layer by layer, then your merit and virtue becomes more and more complete. And so this is the process of practice. And thank you for attending the talk today. Thank you very much. And also thanks to the translator.